Thanks. You saved me. I could have died in here, but you brought me back. I didn't know you could do that.
Lots of things you don't know about me, Deathstalker.
That's true. Where's Silva?
Out in the streets somewhere, fighting for his city. I'd never have pegged him for a hero, but it just goes to show how you can be wrong about people.
Well, none of us are perfect.
It was as close to an apology and a reconciliation as they were going to get, and they both knew it, so they moved on to other things. They headed for the door.
You know, this could happen again if you use the boost too much.
Owen shrugged.
I've been doing what's needed. The boost makes it possible for me to do what I have to do.
I know how that feels. Blood does the same thing for me.
They stepped out into the hallway and looked at each other. Finally, Owen smiled slightly. Guess it takes one addict to recognize another. Now let's go down and play the hero one more time, and pray the poor bastards depending on us never find out about her feet of clay. You're a good friend, Hazel. I don't know what I'd do without you.
Don't push it, Aristo.
Hazel smiled despite herself. And they went down the stairs together, leaning on each other just a little. Down in the bar, they found the whole room cleared of customers, not to mention furniture. The chairs had all been pushed up against the wall so that the city councilors could crowd around a large circular table in the middle of the room. They were studying a map of the city and arguing loudly, with much gesturing of the hands. People were darting in and out the front door all the time, bringing in computer terminals, monitor screens, and other useful equipment from tech quarter. Runners came and went with up-to-date information, pausing only briefly before rushing out into the night again. With the comm systems down, they had to be the council's eyes and ears in the city. Luckily, people in Mistport were used to improvising. The proprietor of the Blackthorn Inn watched the chaos from behind the safety of the long wooden bar at the end of the room. Cider had a quick smile that didn't always reach her cold blue eyes, and thin scars crossed one side of her face like worry lines. She used to be the hardest working and hardest hearted fence in all Mistport, but was now a highly respectable citizen, owner of a popular and thriving tavern, and according to her old friend Silver, just possibly in line for council membership. Beside Cider, nursing a mulled ale, stood the young man called Cat, Cider's sidekick, lover, and occasional fall guy. Cider wasn't known for being sentimental. Cat had pale, youthful features, dominated by dark, watchful eyes, and pockmarks that tattooed both cheeks. He wore a white thermal outfit that enabled him to hide in the snow and the mists with equal dexterity. Tall and slender, Cat was a deaf mute, and quite possibly the best burglar in the city. He was supposedly retired now that Cider had the means to keep him, but roof runners of his quality were always in demand, and he liked to keep busy. Owen and Hazel moved over to the bar, and Cider scowled at them both.
I don't know why I let you in here. Every time you barge into my life, everything goes to hell in a handcart, and my tavern gets trashed. Just look what's happening now. I'm a spectator in my own tavern. I was making good money till the council threw my customers out, and they're too busy to drink much themselves. Who's going to pay for my loss of custom?
Relax. I have some associates in the city who will be only too pleased to make good your losses. Well, actually, they won't be too pleased at all, but they'll still do it, because they know I'll cut them off the knees if they don't.
So what's happening here?
Said Hazel after she and Cider had embraced briefly across the bar and kissed the air near each other's cheeks.
We happy few are organizing the resistance.
Cider poured herself a very large drink.
Until the Empire finds us. That should take a while. Officially, only the council members themselves were supposed to know about this. But they're having to call in more and more people to help them, and someone will talk eventually. In the meantime, the council is doing its best to coordinate resistance and minimize the damage and loss of life.
Steele finally noticed Owen and Hazel's arrival, and beckoned for them to join him. He introduced them to the other counselors, who looked decidedly unimpressed, so Owen decided not to be impressed by them, either. It wasn't difficult. Donald Royal was there, looking frail but determined, accompanied by his partner, Madeline Skye, and young Jack Random. Quentin McVeigh represented the guilds. He dressed like a colorblind peacock with absolutely no taste, and had the most false-looking false teeth Owen had ever seen. Albert Magnus represented the merchants. He dressed in dusty gray, a perfect match for his face, and generally looked like he died and then been dug up again quite recently. Lois Barron spoke for Thieves' Quarter, a short and compact woman who looked tough enough to chew up a tin can and spit nails. Finally, Ian Castle represented Tech Quarter. He was a dwarf with a crooked shoulder and looked like he had absolutely no sense of humor about it. The council took it in turns to give Owen funny looks, and after catching sight of himself in the mirror behind the bar, Owen could understand why. He was covered in dried blood and puke, and his clothes looked as though someone had died in them.
If Golgotha wants to be taken seriously here, they'll have to send us better than this,
said Magnus.
Kick them out,
said Ian Castle, the dwarf.
We don't have time for this.
Owen and Hazel reached out mentally to each other and linked. Power shot back and forth between them, building and building. Their presence was suddenly overwhelming, filling the room from wall to wall, drawing all eyes to them. They were wild and powerful, so wildly potent as to seem almost inhuman, or more than human. Their power hammered on the air like a giant heartbeat, fast and overpowering. The counselors would have liked to run or kneel. They were held where they were, like mice before a snake. New energy flooded through Owen and Hazel, washing away all weaknesses and impurities. Hazel's blood use had kept them from linking for so long, but they had forgotten how powerful they were when joined.
Cut it out!
Cider forced out the words despite the awe that pressed her back against the far wall.
We're impressed. Honest. Now shut it down before the Empire Espers pick up on it.
Owen and Hazel reined back on their link, internalizing their power. And suddenly they were just a man and a woman again. Owen could hardly believe that just a few minutes ago he thought he was close to death. Now, with Hazel at his side, he felt he could take on an army. It seemed there was still a lot about what the maze had done to them that they didn't understand. Hazel calmly addressed the council.
Relax. I don't think any Esper could pick us up. Whatever it is that powers us, I don't think it's Esp.
The council members looked at each other, and if anything, looked even more upset than before, and Owen suddenly realized that for the moment, they were just as frightened of him and Hazel as they were of the invaders. At least the Empire was a known threat. He stepped forward, hands raised reassuringly, and tried not to notice when they all flinched and drew back from him. Take it easy, people. We're here to help. This is your city. You tell us how best we can help you defend it. Donald Royal stepped suddenly forward to stare into Owen's face. His gaze was firm and steady.
Yes, you're a Deathstalker, all right. I can see it in your eyes. Damn, it's good to have a Deathstalker with us again. Your family always did have a talent for stirring things up. I knew your father and your grandfather, boy. Good men, both of them, in their different ways. When all this is over, I'll tell you some stories about them that you probably won't find in your family records. It's good to see you here, maintaining your clan's traditions.
Leave the old-time shit for later,
said Castle.
What kind of help are you offering us, Deathstalker? Gonna walk out into the streets and all the Empire troops to death, are you? You might have Esper Juju coming out your ears, but that won't stop an invading army. Surely, Gogga, they didn't just send us the pair of you and their best wishes. We need guns, explosives, equipment.
We brought a ship full of projectile weapons and crates of ammunition. They should be being distributed even as we speak. That's it.
Projectile weapons?
Said Magnus.
What use are bloody antiques against gravity barges with disruptor cannon?
You'd be surprised. Besides, you've got me and Owen. We're an army in our own right.
Oh, wonderful,
said Lois Barron.
An ex-aristo and an ex-pirate with overblown esp and delusions of grandeur. Like we haven't got enough of those already. Why don't we all just shoot ourselves now and get it over with?
If you don't stop whining, I'll shoot you myself. These two are different. You felt their power.
Oh, we're different, all right.
That's for sure. And there's always Jenny Psycho, wherever she is.
I don't think we need to tell the Council about her yet. They'd only worry.
And if you find those two disturbing, there's always me,
said young Jack Random. Everyone turned to look at him. He'd been quiet for so long that everyone had forgotten he was there. It quickly became clear that the Council found his tall, muscular frame and handsome face much more satisfying than Hazel and Owen.
And who the hell are you?
Castle climbed onto a stool to get a better look over people's heads.
I know the face, said McVeigh. I'm sure I know the face.
Donald Royal smiled.
Allow me to present my good old friend, the one and only Jack Random.
The Council gaped soundlessly for a moment, then left the table en masse to crowd around Random, pumping his hand and slapping him on the back, and saying how delighted they were that he'd come to save them in their hour of need. Random smiled and nodded modestly, looking every inch a hero and a legend born. Owen looked at Hazel. I may puke.
You already did. Try not to get it all over me this time.
Eventually, the counselors got tired of telling Random what a savior he was to them, and having him modestly nod in degree, and they brought him over to the table to show him the great map of Mistport. Steele pulled Random in beside him to explain things, and Owen and Hazel pushed in on the other side, determined to not be left out of anything. Steele ignored them, concentrating on Random.
Right, Jack. This map covers all four quarters of the city, from boundary to boundary. The city's perimeter is defended by high stone walls, but they won't last long. They were only ever intended to keep out marauding local wildlife. A war machine will walk right through them. And of course they don't do a thing to stop gravity barges and sleds. Now, to the north we have merchants and guilds quarters, and thieves and tech in the south. The River Autumn runs through all of them except tech. With our communications out and most of the streets blocked with people and barricades, we've been using the barges on the Autumn to transfer messages and people. One of our few emergency plans that is worth anything. Most of the rest depended on Espers, and they're not part of the agenda anymore. Whatever it is the Empire's doing, it's scrambled the minds of practically anyone with even a touch of Esp in them. A few of the stronger talents are holding out, but it's anyone's guess as to how long. What's left of the Esper Union is concentrating on combating the air invasion, but all they're doing is buying us some time. We've got runners bringing in information all the time, but by the time we get to hear about anything, it's already over. God, I'd kill for just one working comm system. But the runners are all we've got.
Not anymore.
Everyone looked around, and there was Jenny Psycho, looking very pleased with herself, along with Chance and a dozen Esper children from the Abraxas Information Center. The children were awake and more or less steady on their feet, but their eyes were wild and unsettling. A general shudder went through most of the people at the table as they studied the insane children in their ill-fitting, grubby dressing gowns.
All right. Who the hell are you, woman? And why have you brought these people here?
I'm Jenny Psycho, last manifestation of the Mater Mundi. So watch your mouth or I'll turn you into a small hopping thing. These children are possibly the only Espers left in Mistport who aren't bothered by the new Empire weapon, possibly because they're so far out of it even under normal conditions. The rest of the children are taking up positions all over the city. They're a bit strange to work with, but once you get the hang of it, you should have a working communication system again. And I am here to protect you in case the Empire works out where you are. With the Mater Mundi's power flowing through me, I'm more than a match for anything the Empire can throw at you. Now, don't you all feel so much safer?
You know, I'd probably feel a lot happier about all this if it wasn't coming from a woman called Jenny Psycho.
Well done, Jenny. I knew you'd come through for us. Now, let's get these children settled before anything else. The poor lambs look like they've come a long, hard way.
People bustled around, getting the children hot drinks and blankets to lie on, while Chance hovered protectively over them, getting in the way. Jenny Psycho busied herself ordering some strange but potent cocktail at the bar. She seemed to feel that having got the children safely here, they were no longer her responsibility. As always, Jenny had her own sense of priorities, with herself at the top of the list. The children were barely settled when they all suddenly stiffened on their makeshift beds, their eyes rolled up in their heads.
"Do they often do that?"
asked Lois Barron.
"Shut up. They're seeing something."
"They're here. The wall is going down at the southwest boundary. Imperial foot troops are streaming through. The wolves are in the fold."
"Shit! I thought we had more time. Chance, how reliable are these charges of yours?"
"When it comes to seeing the present, 100%. As to the future, then..."
I know. Get the runners on their feet again. I don't care how tired they are. I need them to gather reinforcements for whatever's left of the wall."
"No need to bother the runners. Let them rest. They're exhausted. Give me some men, and I'll lead a force down to the boundary to stop the invaders."
And as quickly as that, the meeting broke up into shouted plans and orders. Albert Magnus volunteered to take Random to the nearest groups of militia and city watch and lead them to the southwest boundary. Random clapped him on the shoulder and called him a good man, and the gray man almost blushed. They hurried out the door, and Owen and Hazel hurried after them. Jenny Psycho grudgingly worked with Chance to stabilize the children and interpret what they were seeing. She seemed to feel this was somewhat beneath her, but did it anyway to show she was a good sport. Cider led Cat off into a quiet corner, wrote out several messages, then sent him off to deliver them. If Empire troops were already in the city, she wanted to be sure her various properties were being well protected. Just because there was a war on, there was no need to lose track of one's priorities. Cat frowned and then shrugged. He could never say no where Cider was concerned. And as one of the finest burglars and roof runners in Mistport, the chances of his being detected and stopped were less than most people's. Mistport's sea of connected roofs and gables were familiar territory to him. So he smiled reassuringly at Cider, kissed her goodbye, then again for luck, and again because he enjoyed it, and disappeared out the nearest window, up the wall and onto the roofs, his white thermal suit blending seamlessly into the snow and fog. He had no way of knowing. He would never return to the Blackthorn Inn again. John Silver fought with the others at the break in the southwest boundary wall under Legion's continuing scream. He'd fought in so many campaigns in his previous life as a pirate, against odds of all kinds, but never anything like this. There seemed no end to the Imperial troopers as they came streaming through the huge gaps in the wall opened up by the Empire war wagons. Time had blurred into a rush of blood and pain and clashing steel. And though he stood his ground amidst the rubble of the wall and would not yield, he knew he didn't stand a chance. After the Hobhounds' invasion of the city during the Typhoid Mary disaster, the city council had given orders for the 20-foot stone walls to be raised to 30 feet. 30 feet of solid stone, 4 feet thick. It hadn't slowed the Empire forces down for a moment. The huge battle wagons, 50 feet tall and 20 wide, had smashed through the wall as though it was made of paper. Their toughened steel hulls could withstand anything short of a disruptor, and what few energy guns the defenders had weren't enough to stop them. And so the war wagons crashed through the wall in a dozen places, and the Imperial troops came swarming in over the rubble, firing as they came. The city's defenders went to meet them with bare steel and grim determination, leaping over their fallen fellows to meet the invaders head to head. And there the invasion slowed and stopped as fighting clogged the entrances. It was vicious fighting, with no quarter asked or given. There was no room in any of them for anything but hatred and murder. A blood madness fueled by the rebels' outrage, the troops' battle drugs, and the never-ending scream above. The battle wagons were largely useless once they'd broached the boundary walls. They were too big and too clumsy to operate in the narrow streets and alleyways of Mistport, and they couldn't use their disruptor cannon on the city defenders for fear of taking out their own troops, too. So, as always, it came down to man against man and the flash of cold steel. Men fell dead and dying on all sides. But though the tides of battle surged this way and that, somehow, still the defenders held. John Silver had taken a deep cut across his forehead somewhere early in the proceedings and had to keep jerking his head to keep the blood out of his eyes. Typical Silver luck. All bad. He'd taken other wounds, and there was more blood on his clothes, but he tried not to think about that. The buzz from his last shot of Wampir blood had worn off long ago, and now all that kept him going was duty and adrenaline. His sword rose and fell, most often crashing uselessly back from parrying steel or foreshield, and his sword arm ached mercilessly. There was no room in the crush of bodies for fancy swordplay or footwork. You stood toe-to-toe with your opponent and hammered it out, with victory going to the strongest or the quickest. And when one man fell, there was always another to take his place. And then suddenly, reinforcements were there, slamming into battle beside him like the answer to a prayer. War cries from a dozen worlds and cultures filled the air as the new defenders forced the invading troops back step by step. The Deathstalker was there, already covered in blood and looking like death on legs. Hazel Dark fought beside him, wielding her sword with devastating strength and speed. Albert Magnus from the City Council was there too, right in the front of things. A dusty gray man with a sword in each hand, unstoppable as a force of nature. And leading the attack, Jack Random himself, the professional rebel. He was tall and imposing in silver battle armor, his face familiar from 100 wanted posters, driving the invaders back by the sheer fury of his attack. His swordplay was swift and deadly, and no one could stand against him. Silver laughed breathlessly and fought on, new strength in his arms. Owen Deathstalker took a position at the head of the battle and defied the Imperial troops to get past him. He was boosting again and felt stronger than ever now that he was linking with Hazel. Somehow he knew side effects wouldn't be a problem this time. He hacked and cut about him with unstoppable strength, slapping aside defensive parries with contemptuous ease. Men fell screaming to either side of him and did not rise again. Droplets of blood flew from his blade as it scythed through the air, and Owen grinned like a wolf, the scent of blood heavy in his nostrils. Every inch the warrior he'd never wanted to be. Hazel Dark fought at his side, her sword flashing in short, brutal arcs, cutting through flesh and bone like a butcher's cleaver. Blood, none of it hers, splashed her clothes, soaking her sword arm to the elbow, and the screams of the wounded and the dying were music to her. Her link with Owen was strong now. She could feel his presence at her side, dependable as always. Another presence impinged on her mind. She glanced to her left, and there was John Silver, not far away, stamping and fencing like a man possessed, eyes wide and grinning like a madman. He was flying on blood. She could see it in him, smell it on his panting breath, even at this distance. A part of her wanted blood too, just a drop or two. It would make her feel so good, comfort her fears, help her forget the helplessness of the fight she was involved in. Hazel fought the need down, burying it deep. She didn't need blood to do what had to be done here. Perhaps because her situation had now become so simple. Fight or die, fight or lose everything she ever cared for. And perhaps because she was linking with Owen again, and in his presence and strength, she found all the comfort she needed. Disruptors on the battle wagons began to target rebel fighters on the outskirts of the struggling mob, blowing them apart in dark clouds of vaporized flesh and blood. Gravity barges drifted overhead in vast formations, surrounded by darting gravity sleds, hundreds of them, like a storm of dark metal leaves blowing into the city. No espers flew up to meet them as they pressed slowly on into the city, disruptor beams stabbing down to blow buildings apart. The air was filled with the roar of powerful engines and collapsing masonry, almost drowning out the shrieks and howls and war cries drifting up from the struggling forces below. And above it all, the endless scream of the awful thing called Legion. Albert Magnus, that gray and bitter man, fought hard and well with his two swords and felt really alive for the first time in years. He swung his two swords in wide, coordinated arcs, forcing his opponents back, But there were so many of them, and he couldn't look in all directions at once. A sword stabbed at him from an unexpected angle and slammed between his ribs. He shouted in pain and disbelief, and blood sprayed from his mouth. He dropped his swords. Someone jerked the sword out of his side, and that hurt him again. And then there were more swords and axes hewing at him like a block of wood. He fell, hurting too badly now even to scream, and was trampled on. Just another body on the ground. The fight moved back and forth over him till he died. Jack Random seemed to be everywhere at once, his sword a silver blur, a dashing, death-defying hero, laughing in the face of impossible odds. Just his presence was enough to spark greatness in the men and women around him, and they fought using his name as a battle cry. He took impossible risks and always pulled them off. He never seemed to tire, and he never took a wound, a giant of a man who spread terror through the Imperial ranks. Owen, bloodied and exhausted, was quietly disgusted. It wasn't fair that anyone should be that fast, that amazing, and that good-looking, not to mention that lucky. The Empire forces hadn't even been able to draw the great man's blood yet. Owen felt he was doing pretty well, but he'd already taken a dozen lesser wounds. It was inevitable in a crush like this. The maze's changes were already healing him, and the boost kept him from feeling much pain, but it was the principle of the thing. Still, Jack Random was a legend, and legends were supposed to be above the petty problems of mere mortals, if that was who he really was. Owen was damned if he knew what he believed anymore. Certainly this man filled the legend better than the broken-down old man he'd found hiding in Mistport, claiming to be Jack Random. But Owen believed in people, not legends. He shrugged mentally as he cut down another Imperial trooper with a single savage stroke. Random wasn't the only real warrior here. And whoever the handsome bastard really was, young Jack Random was exactly what the city of Mistport needed right now. His name was a rallying cry, perhaps the only thing that could call all the disparate parts of Mistport together and make them fight as one. Owen decided he'd settle for that. Hazel Dark could feel her mind reaching out in strange directions. Ever since the maze had changed her, her mental abilities had been slowly but steadily increasing, and since coming to Mistport, the rate of change had been increasing. She could tell now where every attack was coming from, even before it was actually launched, and her sword was always there in the right place to block the attack. No one could sneak up on her, even in her blind spots, and she could sense the weaknesses in any opponent the moment she saw him or her. It was beyond experience or instinct. It was as though she'd always known such things, and only remembered them now when she needed them. And more than that, as she saw the various possibilities opening up before her, other, possible versions of herself began to appear around her. They blinked in and out of existence, sometimes only there long enough to deflect a sword or ward off an attack she couldn't have stopped on her own. But as she fought, other, different Hazel Darks began to appear, to fight at her side. Some had subtle differences like an extra scar or different colored hair. Others were different builds or races. One had a golden Hayden man hand. One was a man. At least one didn't look to be entirely human. She smiled at some of them, and some smiled back. Together, she and her other selves pushed forward, forcing their way to the very front of the battle. And there they filled the main gap in the boundary wall and defied the Empire to get past them. John Silver saw the Hazel Darks fighting side by side, and thought he must have gotten a really bad batch of blood this time. It didn't usually give him hallucinations. It was only when a bald Hazel Dark and a bounty hunter's leather stopped an Imperial sword thrust that would have killed him that he was forced to admit they were real. He didn't let it bother him. Mistport was a crazy place at the best of times, which this very definitely wasn't. But then he saw Owen Deathstalker striding through the milling crowd, cutting troopers down as though they were nothing, and Jack Random standing defiant and undefeatable amidst a pile of enemy dead, and a shivering awe flashed through him. In all his years, Silver had never seen anything like these three. It was like fighting beside gods. Another surge in the fighting brought him forward to Owen's side. The Deathstalker threw him a quick, flashing grin, and Silver tried to smile back. And in that moment, he saw a trooper's sword heading straight for Owen's back. The Deathstalker hadn't seen it, too busy cutting down the two men before him. Time seemed to slow and stop, and it felt to Silver that he had all the time in the world to decide what to do next. He could call out a warning or stop the blade himself, but in that moment, he wanted the Deathstalker to die. For being more than human, more than him, for being closer and more important to Hazel than he could ever be. It would be easy just to stand there and let the blade kill Owen. Afterward, no one would blame him. There was so much going on, and he couldn't be expected to see everything. He hesitated, his mind churning in a dozen different directions at once. All the things that could be his, if only Owen Deathstalker was dead. And then, time crashed into motion again, and there was no more time to think. The blade slammed toward Owen's back, and Silver lurched forward, his sword blocking the blow. The sudden impact tore the sword from his hand, and it fell to the ground. The trooper turned on Silver, his sword drawing back for a killing thrust. Silver darted to one side, and the blade sliced across the side of his arm, just opening the skin. Blood ran down his arm. The trooper drew back his arm for another blow. Silver gathered the blood running down his arm into his hand and threw it in the trooper's eyes. The man hesitated for a moment, blinded, and it was the easiest thing in the world for Silver to reach down, pick up his sword, and run the trooper through. All this passed in only a moment or two. Owen Deathstalker saw none of it, being busy with his own problems. Silver gathered his wits together and fought on. He hadn't done too badly for a mere mortal. And if there had to be gods fighting in this battle, Silver was just glad they were on his side. The tides of battle swept him away from Owen, who cut his way through a crowd of bodies to fight beside Hazel again. It took a moment to realize it wasn't the Hazel Dark he knew, and another to realize there seemed to be a small crowd of Hazels. And then someone in the back of the crowd was shouting, "Retreat!" Other voices took it up, all of them Imperial troopers. And suddenly the invaders were melting away before Owen, turning and running. Everywhere he looked, it was the same, as what had been a far greater force fell apart and ran for its life, its strength broken on the immovable rock that was Mistport's defenders. The retreat became a rout, and in a matter of moments, there was no one left to fight. The defenders raised a ragged cheer. Owen looked back at Hazel Dark and blinked a few times as he discovered there was only one of her there. She looked across at him, grinning broadly, and Owen decided he wasn't going to ask. Not yet. The defenders were calling his name and Hazel's, but mostly Jack Random's. He was their hero. They saluted him with raised swords and glowing, fervent eyes. They would have followed him into hell itself, and everyone knew it. And then the war wagons opened fire with their disruptors. Now that they no longer had to worry about killing their own troops, they could fire with impunity. The disruptor cannon blew huge bloody holes in the defenders' forces, and the air was full of blood and flying flesh. The crowd began to fall back, scrambling over the bodies of the dead. Jack Random raised his voice above the bedlam.
"Stop, my friends! We can defeat these machines!"
Owen pushed his way through the crowd to grab Random by the arm.
"What, are you crazy? You can't fight disruptor cannon with nothing but swords. We have to fall back and find some place we can defend."
"Damn right!"
Hazel was suddenly at Owen's side.
"You're trying to get us all killed, Random."
My apologies. You're quite right, of course. I got carried away for the moment."
"Fine. Now shut the hell up and run."
The defenders fell back before the advancing battle wagons, but it was an organized retreat, not a rout. They spilled back through the narrow streets and alleyways, confident the huge bulking machines couldn't follow them. The machine's disruptor cannon swiveled from side to side, trying to find a grouping of rebels big enough to be worth firing on, but the rebels had already learned that lesson the hard way, and scattered into smaller and smaller groups as they fell back.
So the war wagons opened fire on the streets themselves, blowing buildings and walls apart in showers of pulverized brick and mortar. There were shouts and screams as people disappeared beneath the collapsing buildings. And soon there were only piles of smoking rubble where the streets had been, over which the huge battle wagons pressed relentlessly forward. The Imperial troopers saw the triumph of the war machines and began to reform behind them. The defenders' retreat began to turn into a rout after all. Owen and Hazel stopped and looked back. The war wagons surged toward them, guns roaring, devouring Mistport street by street. Above, the gravity barges hovered like vast storm clouds. Owen reached out a hand to Hazel, and she took it firmly. The same thought in both their minds. Their joined thoughts reached up and out. One of the gravity barges suddenly lurched in midair as some unseen, implacable force seized hold of it. The engines roared and strained, and then overloaded, as something pulled the barge down out of the sky and smashed it into the war machines below. The night was ripped apart by the force of the explosion, and flames roaring up from the tangled wreckage lit the nearby streets bright as day. The invading forces had to retreat yet again, or be showered by falling molten metal thrown hundreds of yards by the blast. But none of the defenders were harmed. The tumbling debris seemed to fall well short every time, as though they were protected by some unseen hand. The rebels stopped running and stood and cheered, celebrating the good fortune that had saved them. Of them all, only John Silver knew to whom they owed their lives. He watched as Owen and Hazel came out of their trance, looked down at their linked hands, and grinned self-consciously. They let go and moved off into the cheering crowds. Silver watched them go, and wondered again what they were becoming, and if, just possibly, they might grow to be so powerful that they became more of a threat to Mistport than the Empire ever had been.